I was reading recently the book of Proverbs, and God spoke to me something very personal and touched my life in a way that made me think about some things in my life. So today I want to share with you all some thoughts from Proverbs chapter 2, and I hope it will be challenging and encouraging and guiding us in whatever we go through. God knows how to take His word and apply it to our lives, so it can be meaningful and it can bless and guide us in whatever situation we are. So I think it'll be very good to read the whole chapter, and then I'll share my thoughts. Proverbs is not a book you have to read fast. There's a lot of wisdom packed in each word or expression, so we have to take time and read it. But I think it'll be good just to go through the whole chapter, and then I'll just stop at certain verses for us today. So I'll start Proverbs chapter 2, starting verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield for those whose walk is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of His faithful ones. Then you'll understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight path to walk in the dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways. It will save you also from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her path to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the path of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men, and keep to the path of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. So this is Proverbs chapter 2 that we just read. And I want to pack my message in three wordings that I see here that God spoke to me and I want to share with you all today. The first warning is, when we look at God's word, the Bible, the scriptures, just as a book, as a manual, and we don't see the person behind this book, the Bible. When Solomon wrote this book, most of the Proverbs were written by Solomon, and he was addressing his son and whatever was reading this book after that. He was telling, if you're going to search for wisdom, and you're gonna look for this. He said in verse 5, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So the purpose of the book was not just to give him a bunch of rules and a bunch of instructions, and then he said, well, you're just gonna be a cool dude. You're just gonna be an awesome man, and that's it. He said, the purpose of these teachings, they are supposed to lead you, to guide you, toward the person, towards God who wrote this book. Mm-hmm. And that's the first warning that God spoke to me. Like, because we are so easy, maybe, can fall into this way of reading the Bible, just, you know, looking at the instruction manual. And especially men are known to try things first, and if needed, we can check the manual, mm-hmm. the owner's manual, right? We try, sort things out, and if it doesn't work, we'll see how do they say we have to, you know, put together this whatever, cabinet or machine or whatever. Mm-hmm. And many times in life, it's like that. You know, we try our own way, we try marriage, we try life, we try whatever, and then after we screw up, we say, well, by the way, what did God say about this? And we go back to the Bible. But the purpose of this is that wisdom and the knowledge of God, they are just, they have to be in us, like not just mysterious, you know, principles and teachings, and you know, they are somewhere there. It is supposed to be God Himself, like we feel we get connected to Him through reading the Bible. That's the first point that God spoke to me, and I see that danger also, like in our children who had the privilege and the blessing to be born in a Christian family. We try to teach them the right things, and we try to guide them into in this good path to walk before the Lord. But the danger is that they might know the Bible, but don't know the Lord. And we are at that moment in our lives, me and my wife, where we have to like tell our kids, I'm not going to obligate you to, you know, love God or follow Him, or it's your choice. But it's not just this Bible we try to, you know, just force on some people. It is God that we have to know personally, Jesus, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Paul is writing, and he's trying to do the same thing with the churches. He's trying to connect those people with Jesus Christ. So that's the very important thing that we have to do, like to know God beyond these words that we read. See, me and my wife, we've been born in separate, far away place from each other, and we used to call and, you know, write messages to each one of us, and, you know, letters. And whenever I receive a letter from my wife, or she received from me, it was a person behind those words. If I just give you that, you know, card or letter to read, you just see some information, some story or something. But for me, it was a person that was talking to me. Did you ever smile when you read a letter from someone you know? Do you cry when you read? That's because you're connected to that person. Because you're connected. That's how we are reading the Bible. And the Word of God says that, verse 5, it says, like, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Verse 11, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. God will be there guiding you, you know, talking to you, and it will become a pleasant relationship with Him. Jesus said in John, we know that verse, John chapter 14, verses 21 to 23, He says that whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Show myself to them. Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. That's what Jesus said. If you love my word, you're not gonna just, you know, be an expert in quoting the Bible and knowing the Bible. Even Satan, demons know the Bible. But Jesus said, if you love my commandments, if you love my word, I promise you, I will come and dwell in your heart. That's amazing. That's amazing. And this is, if you have that desire, if we do have that desire, say, Lord, I don't want just to read a book. This is not a manual just written by somebody. There is an author behind this letter trying to connect with me to whatever situation I'm facing. Whatever you go through, God is going to use this word to speak to you. He is behind His word, and that's what Jesus promised. We will come and just live in your heart if you love my word and obey my commandments. This is the first warning. This is the first temptation that we have to avoid. It's not just reading the Bible, you know, like because we're Christians, because you don't want to do this, this, and that. We are looking for a relationship with God, the author, the Holy Spirit of this book. That's what's burning in my heart. And I was reminded the verse that in Hebrews says, like chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So whenever I read the Word of God, this is alive and active. It's like a medicine you take. It just becomes part of you. You feel it. That's how it's supposed to be. When we read the Bible, I'm not just looking for a verse to show somebody, just to point at somebody. You know, it is a teaching. Yes, it's the Word of God is supposed to teach, to guide us and all that. But it's supposed to be active, alive in us when we read the Word of God. So, it's a great promise from God that He will do that in us. And whenever we are facing somebody, something in our lives, any situation, we say, Lord, would you please speak to me through your word? And I can guarantee you, God will speak to you. God will speak to you in personal ways. I don't know how and in, you know, what your situation is. I know in my life, God spoke to me so personally. I grew up in the Republic of Moldova in Europe. We used to work very hard. We eat a certain diet. We eat a lot of bread and wheat, and you know, because that was available. But when I came to U.S. and especially like here, everything contains sugar. So you know, I just got in trouble for that because you know my health was affected by that, and I have to struggle with diabetes and stuff like that. So, and then I was looking in the Bible, as you know, and it's just God can talk to you in such a way you'll be surprised. I love ice cream. I have one thing in common with Biden. He loves ice cream. But President Biden. But what I want to say is, like, if we are honest about, I know this is a thing in my life that I have to be more careful. So I try to avoid eating too much ice cream or ice cream at all. And it's hard for me. So one day I just go to a truck stop and I was battling, should I get the ice cream or not? And as I was looking at the fridge where the ice cream was, somebody just walks by me and says, if you eat that, you're going to be fat. And just walked away. I was another truck driver. And I, you know, I was not offended. He did not know that God just used him. It was personal for me. Just a couple of weeks ago, I'm reading Book of Proverbs, and I just looked chapter 5. And I read the last verse, 23, and he says, he will die for lack of discipline. Ouch. He will die, not because God wanted me to die when I'm 40 or whatever, but because you're not disciplined. And I said, Lord, thank you for making your word alive for me. It hurt. But it was a good hurt. It was God. I'm not trying, you know, to discourage anybody or like looking down on somebody. I just want to say, make it personal for you. I understand from the Word of God that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I say, Lord, it's hard for me to struggle with all this. Lord, it's just society we live in. It's encouraged. It's like that. It's, you know, it's very hard. And God says, I'm beside you. And I'm not just supposed to do it with my own strength, like with my own abilities. The self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the solution is not just, oh, try harder. No, come before me and ask me to fill with the Holy Spirit. And then you'll be able to overcome, including whatever temptations you're facing. So my encouragement is for you, all of us, to look at the Bible, not just as a dry book full of instruction. Look for God, the author, who wants to talk to us through that book, with you personally. I have more other circumstances where God used his word to speak to me in my life. And I should word, we should not use the Bible like, you know, like, I don't know how to say it, like with the witchcraft, like, you know, people just look at the Bible and say, okay, just God speaks to me through this verse. They point the finger or they open the Bible randomly and they treat God like that. That's disrespect, in my opinion. But the Word of God, when we read it and we look honestly, God will teach, like will speak to us. He'll use his word and we'll remember clearly. God will use our mind, our understanding, and he'll convince in our heart when he speaks to us. This chapter starts with the word my son. It's a relationship. He did not say, my student, listen, man. You know, it's about time you get up, you grow old. He says, my son. That's the heart of the father that wants to talk. I just came late last night from work. I was tired. And, you know, my daughter, oldest daughter, she was about to leave somewhere. I did not care how tired I was. I had to speak with her something. So I just put everything aside. I said, my daughter, this is what I think is important for you. And I just shared my heart with her. And I told her, it's a relationship. It's not easy to accept guidance, wisdom, discipline from a stranger. What if I just go to Matthew, little Matthew here, and I just say, I'm trying to discipline him? That's not going to be good for none of us. But if his dad says, Matthew, we got to talk, he's going to pay attention. And I think I shared with you before, one of my daughters, I'm not going to say who, when I was younger, it involved a little bit of physical discipline. I never abused my children. I'm not saying we have to abuse them. But sometimes, if they don't get it other ways, some kind of little pain, it helps them like to understand, realize that. And after that moment, with tears in her eyes, she grabbed my hand and she kissed my hand. And that was a moment I'll never forget in my life. As a father and my child, she knew that I want best for her.
Yes.
And most of the cards that I for my birthdays, I told them, I don't want gifts. If you want to say something, just put a card and express. And many times they just write, Dad, thanks for guiding me. Thanks for disciplining me. Thanks for being balanced between love and truth and all that. My son, listen to me. This repeats over and over and over again, in the book of Proverbs, my son, please don't forget, he was the father trying to guide his child. The Holy Spirit made us children of God. He's not a teacher somewhere far, you know, and just trying to, you know, like teaching us and forcing us in some way. He is our Father, which art in heaven. We just prayed this morning. And he's caring for you. You are his daughter. You are his son, his child, and we all want to pay attention when he wants to talk to us. So if you go honestly before him and say, Father, what do you think about me? Lord, is there anything in my life that hurts you? Lord, is there anything? And then the Father would just open his heart and talk to us. That's the first warning that I want to share with you, that God spoke to me. Let's not treat the Bible just as a manual. Just as a book. You know, Pharisees, they used to study the Bible. They were expert. And Jesus says, I am here among you. And you just don't want to listen to me. He was the Word of God. Book of John says like that. In the beginning was Word. And Jesus Christ was that Word of God. And he became flesh and dwelt among us. And we look at him. And those people were busy studying the Bible, you know, and just ignoring him. What if I just read something like an article about my wife and I just ignore her? That's how, unfortunately, a lot of Christians today are tempted. We're living like that. We are tempted just to look at the Bible and ignore the person behind this book, which is the Holy Spirit, the Son of God and the Father, who wants to come and live in our heart and dwell with us. The second warning that I see in this chapter is we read the book of the Word of God, we read the Bible, the scripture, and we neglect the terms and conditions placed by him. You see how many times I just search on the Bible app, it's hundreds of times the word if appears in the book of Proverbs alone. Solomon was talking to his son, and he's telling, like verses 1-4, he repeats this. He says, my son, if you accept my words, accept them. Don't just, you know, go, oh, dad, you old, I'm new, you know, you don't know, and stuff like that. Accept them. You don't have to, like, you know, from the beginning, reject them. Store up my commands within you. turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry out loud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then, and he says, what is going to happen after that? But there's condition to that. There are some terms that God put there. And whenever we come to God, we have to acknowledge that and respect the conditions that God put in his word for us. It's not just we come and take this word and, you know, we treat the whatever we want, however we want. I'm fascinated by a lot of people who talk about like cosmos and how everything, you know, was working in the universe, and, you know, all these physicists, and it's amazing. But a lot of these people are atheists. They don't believe in God. And they just explain everything with reason, like, you know, how everything works. And I'm not saying that science is not from God. Science is, you know, they don't exclude each other. But whenever we try to explain everything with our mind, I think we are just trying to forcefully put everything to whatever we understand. And if we don't get it, we say, well, it must be this, you know, like, and not other way around. It's like I say, if you come to me and say, well, I don't see your voice, so I don't believe you're talking, I'll be foolish, right? So whenever we come to God, we have to accept the terms he set for that. For example, when we come to him, we have to come through faith. It's impossible to come before God and, you know, become a child of God without faith. It is impossible. It's like I would tell you, like I'm trying to talk to you, if you cannot hear me, it's impossible to understand what I try to say. The channel that we talk to God is faith. That's a condition. That's one thing that he put in, you know, that's how he said, that's how you talk to me, through faith. And the faith comes from the word of God. And that's how we come before him. We have to accept those conditions that God puts in his word. That's what Solomon is trying to warn his son. If you're going to search for this, if you really want to know God, if you really put your heart to search for him, then God will honor you. God will talk to you. God will bless you. And unfortunately today, there's a lot of misquoted scripture where people take the part they like from the Bible and they neglect or ignore the condition that was there. Are you familiar with one verse, for example, that says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you? It's from the Bible. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's John chapter 15, verse 7. The first part, however, says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's not just, okay, Lord, you know, please do this, do that for me. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words, you're going to dwell, you're going to be saturated, and you will know, and I'll become part of you. When God comes in us, he transforms us, and we are becoming, it's like, you know, I don't know if this is okay or not to use this example, but, you know, after so many years of marriage, husband and wife, they become more similar, become more like one. And they are, if this is a godly couple that both of them search to be like God, it becomes like one. And what if I tell you after so many years, well, if my wife loves me, then, you know, I love my wife, then I can do whatever I want and just go hang out, have fun, and, you know, just enjoy my life. It contradicts. I don't want to do that. So whenever we become more and more like God, we dwell in his word, and we know the Bible, our nature becomes like God. We start to love what God loves, and we hate what God hates. Then you're going to ask, Lord, I hate to just have sin in my life. Lord, help me to be like this, like that. And guess what? God says, I'm ready to honor that. I will give you that because I promise, and that's my nature. I want to do that for you more than you want victory over sin. I want to give it to you. That's the condition for that promise. If you ask something, make sure it's not from your sinful flesh. Nothing, you know, Lord, give me the best car so people, you know, see and envy me. If you look and you dwell in God's word, he will honor that. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That's just what I just shared. If it's according to God's word, He will do that for us. Have you heard about this, another, you know, verse from the Bible? Like, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's a great promise. Who doesn't want to keep the devil out of their lives? We all want that. That's James chapter 4, verse 7. Before that promise, God says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Don't try to just go before the devil without submitting to God first. It's not going to work out. We have to submit to God, and then the devil can do nothing if we go against him. If we love to live in sin, we just continue to live like that, we can go against the devil all day long. It's not going to work out. It starts with the condition, the term that God put there. Submit to me first. Submit to me first. What did God says, like replying, if somebody talks bad about you, if somebody accuses you falsely, what does God's word say about that? Does it say first call a lawyer? Or, you know, make a point straight or stuff like that? Or does the Bible say something else? Bless those who curse you. Pray for them. Yes, maybe you have to explain yourself, but don't fight in the flesh. God will honor His word. Do we know this? You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's another promise. As John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. And He was talking to the Jews who had believed Him. And Jesus told them, if you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. We're not a bunch of people who want to go to heaven. That's a good thing. We just, you know, want to go to heaven. But we want more than that. We want to become disciples. We want to listen. We want to become like Him. And that's the promise that Jesus said. If you are my disciple and you just hold to my teachings and you are really want to know what I say, then those teachings are going to set you free. And you just go say, Lord, thank you for your terms. You'll find out things in the Bible that God will say, I see no condemnation in you. It's like you never sinned in your life. That's how God looks at you. Accept the terms. If you repent and come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sick and tired of my past life. Lord, I'm sick and tired of what I did. God says, I promise I'll not remember your sins no more. Accept the terms I put there. Don't try to bring your terms. Well, Lord, but this and that. If you repent, you forgive other people's, God will never remember your sins. If you don't forgive the sins of other people, God will not forgive you. Terms and conditions set by God. And we thank God for that. You know this? You know this promise again that people like to have, to quote? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's a great verse that people like to read. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek and find me. That's a great promise, but there's a when or a if, other translations. If you seek me with all your heart. People don't put these two together. We just grab whatever we like and say, well, that God said, you know, great plans, and you know, and but that terms and condition. In order to improve my English, I was listening to like different shows like on TV, and you know, one of them was Family Feud, and you probably know about this show, and I know that this guy that talks there, like many times they claim the Bible and he puts God's word there. Like, you know, he's, you know, like a conservative kind of thing, whatever. I don't know. But many of these words are taken out of the context. It's just this kind of thing. Like, you know, we trust, you know, in God, like in God we trust. That's on a dollar bill in America. Not because we want to become more like God. It's just that we're going to be more wealthy and want to have, you know, a lot of things and so on. So whenever we come to God, we have to accept the terms. Lord, what did you have in mind when you wrote, you have been promised this for me. Plans for me for what? And God's plans are always to make us more like His Son. We heard this already this morning. Also, when we hear this if, Solomon was not trying to enforce this on his son. He says, son, listen, I'm advising you this. I want you to have a good life if you're going to pay attention to what I say. He respected the freedom to choose for his son. I was just telling my daughters, you know, when God created you, He gave you the freedom to choose. Like even in our house, you know, what if I just lock up all the doors and all the windows and I say, well, guess what? You have the freedom to go, but they cannot escape the house. That will not be a freedom to choose. God gave each one of us the freedom to choose. Whenever we're young, we need parents to guide us, to protect us, and sometimes or many times go against our will because we don't know what's good and evil. But whenever we grow up, God says, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose what you want. And I hope all of us, I pray, will choose God's best for us. That's the second warning that I was looking in the Bible. Coming to God's word and neglecting the terms and conditions He put there. And I pray that we'll all accept the terms and conditions. I want to come to the third warning that I see close today's message. And this is a very serious warning. It's reaching the point of no return. That's scary. You see, whenever we are in a situation where we face in life, sometimes we think, man, I never knew I'm going to end up in this situation or react this way or do this or do that. We're in marriage. If you go to somebody who's getting married, you know, at the wedding, and you ask him, well, I got a question for the bride and for the groom. Well, what's your plans for the divorce? When do you plan to divorce? They're going to say, what? Nobody thinks about that. And yet, many people, unfortunately, many marriages are broken. A lot of hurt people. Because they don't think they will end up there. Well, in this situation, this son was also facing this danger of getting too far. I'm looking at verses 18 and 19. For her house leads down to death, and her path to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the path of life. They get lost forever. None. It's one out of one get lost. That's a very sad statistic. Brothers and sisters, the Bible warns us that the wages of sin is death. Regardless of race, age, nationalities, social status, it is death. If we play with sin, it's dangerous, it's poison. It always leads to destruction, to death. So, verses, it all starts not there at that moment where, you know, nobody comes back and, you know, you're gone forever. It starts way back. Verses 12 through 15. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight path. You cannot walk on two ways at the same time. We cannot do that. If I want to go to Portland from here, we have to decide, do I go to Portland, Oregon or Portland, Maine? Because there are two different Portlands on opposite sides. I cannot go, you know, after... you know, if you call me, say, Brother Sergio, how are you doing? I'm driving, second day. Okay, are you closer to Portland? I say, yes, closer to Portland. But which one? Well, both of them, Oregon and Maine. You cannot do that. One is West Coast, one is East Coast. So these people, they leave the straight path. And then he says, to walk in dark ways. It's dark, but not. This is still hope for those people. And then it gets worse, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. That's risky. That's dangerous. Those people who end up going away from God, it did not happen overnight. It did not happen overnight. Like the heart, in order to get a hard and, you know, like a stone, the concrete doesn't dry like and gets hard like, you know, in a second. It takes some time. And usually people who ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's how they get too far. You know, it talks about the path. You know how paths are formed? I grew up in a village where there's no concrete. Like in just 5% of the village had concrete, the main road. Or, you know when it's raining and it's muddy and you have to walk? Somebody walks and, you know, and you repeat going the same way where people walk, and it just forms a path. And dries out, and because people are stepping on that, you know, same way, that's how paths are forming. You keep doing what you're doing, and that's becoming a habit, a path that you do. That's why it's very important to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If He shows something in our lives and says, this is wrong, don't contradict Him. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, convince me. I don't want this to become a path in my life, be a living in lie, or whatever other sin that I live in. So this is how we are, you know, getting into danger. I'm sure maybe many of you heard recently a famous teacher, Bible teacher in U.S., just, you know, people realized he was living for 5 years with another woman, younger woman, and he's married, he's got, you know, family, and people are just heartbroken by that. And this was not an accident, just happened. It was 5 years. You depart the path, the righteous path, and you end up in the wrong direction. That's how we get to that point where it's very dangerous. It's that small seed that we have to be careful of. When we get out of the church today, out of this building, look at all these trees around us. 50 foot tall, whatever, maybe more, 100 feet, I don't know. All those trees, one day, many years ago, were just a small seed. A small seed. You could just, you know, with two fingers, can, you know, grab it and just, you know, like that. But because it was left there, that seed became stronger and stronger and stronger and became that powerful tree that can kill you if you fall down. That's how important it is for us, brothers and sisters, as we go through age. We have to be careful because both our weaknesses in our character become stronger and stronger. If I constantly learn to forgive, when I get older, it'll be easier for me to forgive. That's why I fight anger with all of my heart. I say, Lord, I don't want to become an old person who says, that's fine to get angry. I don't want that. And this tree, maybe it's like 1 foot tall, whatever, like, you know, 2 foot tall. I have to, you know, grab it and say, nope, you're not going to grow taller than that. You know, I have to deal with that. We have to deal with that. Don't let it grow so big in your life. I know people close to my heart. They're old, but still living in sin. Unforgiveness or other sin. That it's so sad to see that big tree. You know, the Bible teaches us about being careful with the, you know, seed of bitterness in our hearts. We have to be careful with that. They have to be, you know, taken out, because otherwise we can risk of getting to that point where it's just too late for us. I'm going to close with something that reminds me of my childhood. Like I told you, I grew up in a small town in Moldova. Probably, I don't know, 200 homes maybe, I don't know. And back in those days, almost everybody had a cow or, you know, like animals, chickens, pigs and stuff like that. And when Bible talks about a man that's led to destruction, to death, it uses an animal as an example. And that was very vivid in my mind. Proverbs 7:22 says, all at once, this is the young man that decided to go to a prostitute. It did not start with all at once. It started with like him walking towards her house. It was, you know, it was getting darker and he was going towards that direction, and all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. Little knowing it'll cost him his life. So I grew up in a town where we had a lot of cows, and sometimes some of those cows had to die. They go to the slaughterhouse. And I was a teenager. I remember going to the slaughter's house, and Back in those days, it was a very brutal way they used to kill the houses. Now it's different with all those regulations and stuff, but they used to stab them right here in the back of the head. It was very, very hard. You know, it was a scene that for me was very hard to watch. But there's a secret. You know, those cows, how they have been brought there? With two little fingers, you grab them by the nose. I used to do that. Whenever we grab, we have to, like, once a year, you know, had vaccinations done and stuff like that. We have a meeting place in the, you know, middle of the village. Everybody brings the cows there, and the veterinary was there. And the cow doesn't want that. And this huge animal that weighs, I don't know, maybe up to 1,000 pounds, you just grab by the nose right here. It's very sensitive. And you just go like a mouse on a computer. You just go like that. And this huge animal just follows you. That's what sin does to us. Don't let it grab you. It's dangerous. Bible says nobody comes back. All those cows, I saw them, they were on the death row on that slaughterhouse. So today, like, when I look at any kind of sin in my life, I don't say, Lord, I'm worrying. Well, but that's okay. Nope. Worrying is a sin. Caring for my family, yes, that's good. But worrying too much, like, well, what's going to happen? What is this? What is that? That's a sin. We read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus talks about these things. So I say, Lord, this can be the sin that grabs my nose and then just leads me whatever it wants. We just heard last Sunday what David, what sin did in his life, how it destroyed his life. It grabbed him and he could not escape that. For us today, there is hope. There is hope because if you feel your heart like God's speaking to you, like you feel your heart, Lord, there's something for me here. There's hope for you. And I see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Bible talks about people who perish. It says they perish because they refuse. They refuse to love the truth and to be saved. They don't want to hear this. I said, nope, I'm not going to hear this. If you don't refuse the truth and you love, and say, Lord, please talk to me. There is hope for you and for me. For this reason, for that reason, that because they refused, God, not a man, not the person himself, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they might believe in the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. So there is hope for us if we love the truth of God and we come before him and say, Lord, talk to me. Lord, I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to listen to you, Lord. Show me what I have to do. God says, there is hope for you. But if we just constantly justify ourselves and we just try to like live our lives and ignoring God's word, God himself might be our enemy. And that's scary. I talk to people who throw at me different, like, you know, Bible verses. They live in sin, like I said, unforgiveness, bitterness, and stuff like that. Yet they show me prophecies or, you know, God's word, and they justify themselves. I don't want to do that because I'm scared that God might send this delusion or this deception in my life. If we are honest, we come before him. Say, Lord, I want to talk to you, not just the book. I want to talk to you. Please, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. If God bothered to talk to Samuel, a little child in the temple, I'm sure he has a talk with you too. Whenever we come to his word, says, Lord, I accept the terms, both the conditions you put here, and also, Lord, I want to accept as you say. If you call me your daughter, your son, I'm not going to say I'm a grandchild or, you know, I'm accept God's terms for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for looking at me that way. And today is the day of salvation. If God speaks to us, let's come back to him. Satan will never tell you, come back to God. Satan sometimes will point to sin in our lives and say, this you did wrong and that you did wrong, but he will never point the cross and say, go there and fix it. He'll say, see how you are? Now deal with it. Now, God is mad at you. That's never God talking to you. It's Satan. Listen, my son, my daughter. come back to God and say, Lord, from this day on, I want to be different. I want to pay more attention, Lord. Lord, help me take it more seriously in my life. Whatever it is, sexual sin and the sin of the mouth, like we talk a lot, like, you know, gossiping and all that stuff. These are two of the most serious and most practical sins in our life. People practice them a lot. Let's be different. Let's pay attention. May God help all of us. Amen.